tell us how good it must have felt to have won.
Well, you just get a little full of yourself. You know, you win that kind of election after those two election cycles. As I observed our new governor coming into office, who'd never served in office before, coming out of business, you could sort of see the same kind of little naivete mixed with arrogance. And I think I had a bit of that. I literally had people wanting us to start doing stuff in New Hampshire. Literally, I mean, wanted to go because of the upcoming presidential. They wanted to have a presence in an early primary, presidential primary state. I can't believe that conversation. But we came in, and I was devoted to try to deploy the same kind of systematic, analytic efforts to find good public policy and to convince people that it was the right thing to pass. One of the things I did that was indicative of just hard work, there are budget hearings every year that's held by the budget director, and every agency, all however many hundreds of them, come in and make their case for their budget. That's always a very low staff thing. Out of that comes the detail that gets built up on the budget. When I found out about that, I asked if I could attend every one of those budget hearings. And I spent days, weeks, hours. But the interesting thing about that, I remember inviting Jack Mildren, my lieutenant governor at the time, to join me. I was looking forward to having a really strong partnership with Jack. Jack was so bored, you know, after a week or so of that, he just quit coming to him. And it was boring. But what I walked out of there with was a better understanding of that budget than the leaders of the legislature. So when Cal Hobson and Stratton Taylor and the rest of them would come in and rant and rave about this or that, I'd say, well, why don't you do this? Because that agency's got, you know. So we just retained a tremendous amount of information, and we got a good leg up early on dealing with the legislature. But we started early and often trying to make a difference and do things differently and bring new people into government. And we were proud of many, many folks we brought in. We named women to statewide office vacancies. We had more minorities and women in our cabinet than had ever occurred, and I think is still the record in that regard. DHS, I recruited Ben Demps out of Europe to come back here to run the largest agency. The Office of Personnel Services was run by African-American gentlemen, and so we tried to bring in new people and diverse folks and build a good, strong government.
My research said that you launched major initiatives in children's, rural development, and welfare reform programs. Quality Jobs Program was recognized nationally, successfully sponsored significant workers' compensation reform. Widely respected technology magazine recognized you as the nation's leading governor in the introduction of technology to government applications. So yeah. You were busy, and you had to feel quite proud about all that.
Yeah, United Airlines had a competition where to put this multi-billion dollar maintenance facility that they were going to locate someplace and create thousands and thousands of jobs. And so we went through that competition early. In fact, I talked about it in my inaugural address and then called a special session of the legislature to try to develop an incentive package immediately after being inaugurated, all of which was very unusual. And while we ultimately put together a good offering, and this was a democratically controlled legislature, getting a set of corporate incentives enough to compete in that project was mind-numbingly difficult. People would range from just being socialist enough that they didn't want to have anything to do with corporations, you know, not really accepting reality of what we had to do to compete. I came out of that process, and who runs a national competition to find their Secretary of Commerce? Nobody. I put together a search committee. Jim Tolbert ran that search committee. He had other business leaders on it. They looked all over the country. They found Greg Main in Michigan as a number two guy. And Greg Main was brilliant, came back. He was responsible for our technology innovations and much, much more. But I told Greg, I said, I don't ever want to go through that again. Please go find the best job incentive package in the country and make it better and come back here and let's see if we can pass it. He did exactly that. He came back. We had quality jobs. I remember trying to get anybody in the legislature to sponsor it. I liked to never get anybody to do it. We finally browbeat poor Ted Fisher, and they now call Ted Fisher the father of quality jobs. We finally got Ted Fisher to put his name on it and somebody else, and they did a great job of marshaling it through. But we passed that, and U.S. News and World Report called it the best job incentive package in the country, and it still exists. If I was governor today, I'd get rid of it, because I think it's outlived its purpose and it's become very expensive. And over the years, the legislature has amended it. So now it's become a bit more of a giveaway program than a real jobs creation program. But at the time, it really served its service. Bill Clinton became president during my term. And he offered up these Medicare Medicaid waivers, which we took full advantage of. And so we reformed that. We created the Oklahoma healthcare system. We had our own Medicaid service agency created by a friend of mine, Gar Splinter, who went to Harvard Business School with me. Brilliant, brilliant doctor. And he served many, many years in that post. You know, I negotiated a compact. We did the first compacts with Native American tribes because they had these old bingo parlors and little tobacco smoke shops and all that. So we went to them and negotiated compacts and said, we'll quit suing you. Henry Bellman had at one point 9 law firms suing Indian tribes. And I got rid of all of that. I pitched a big tent on the Capitol grounds, invited all 39 tribes and their leaders to come. I said, we're going to sit here and take notes. Tell us what's wrong with our relationship. Let's figure out a way to fix that. And out of that came these compacts, which floated a $300 million bond issue, which built a facility on every higher education campus back when $300 million was something. But embedded in that was a fiber optic system that began this network around the state. And we got 2 NASA consultants to come in out of Houston to talk to us about how to communicate using that for rural medicine, for example. So during my term, we had the first reading of a X-ray in Guymon, Oklahoma, by a physician in Oklahoma City, because we began that telemedicine effort. And so it was fun keeping everybody on their toes, moving quickly, having widely diverse things. People were really responsive to change, I think, in many respects, not always. We tried to provide our tax. We didn't do that. You know, 1017 came up for a vote of the people, and we managed to keep that from being overturned. And 1017 was a challenge because, as I said before, it's $1 billion of improvement in $1990, which is still remarkable. But only $500 million in taxes were passed. And so it was left to me to find $500 million in savings. My God, I was selling the state airplane. I was doing everything I could possibly do. And we funded it. At the end of Mary Fallon's first term, education funding had been cut 38%. At the end of my first term, education funding had, according to AP news sources, increased 38%. I was proud of all that.